are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was chatting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone be for a trip, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast. Episode 168 is always presented by our friends over at CouchGuysSports.com. Powder didn't realize that he made a 7 instead of a 6, but, you know, that's okay. We'll forgive him for that.
Yeah.
Accountant major, and he also did his master's in 4 years along with his undergrad, but don't tell him that. That's a disclaimer for everybody else listening. Alan Hegan here, Tom Powder Cadmus here. No Maddie DeRozier tonight. We have a Maddie in studio, even though we're recording from Zoom from the comfort of our own homes. It is Maddie B. It's Maddie Burnett, who I think, Maddie, this is what, your fourth time on the pod?
Dude, this is like my 10th at this point.
Definitely not 10.
Can no, confirm definitely not 10. 10, but like I'm up there in appearances. I know that.
You are. You're definitely up there.
I think this is my 6th.
That could be right. We'll say 4, 5, 6, right in that ballpark.
Yeah, right.
Make sure to check out Maddie's blogs when he puts blogs up at CouchGuysSports.com. Make sure to check out his podcast. No. I would make it much more obvious. And make sure to check out his podcast, Birdie and Chris Podcast. Make sure to check it out on every platform as he reps his sweatshirt. And again, make sure to check out everything on CouchGuysSports.com. From the blogs to the podcast to the Twitch channel and the YouTube channel and everything else in between. Guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no energy tonight. I think I need a boost from our good friends over at Shock Energy. Have you ever felt like me? You're unable to focus. You're tired or you're just low on energy. We understand that feeling. See, I can't even get through the ad read for the first 2 sentences. And usually I'm a lock at this. We understand so well that the Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by the Couch Guy Sports Network, obviously, and sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a drink made by gamers for gamers. All their flavors come packed with 180 milligrams of caffeine to ensure that no matter what you're doing, your focus will always be razor sharp to keep you performing at the top of your game. Their formulas are designed to specifically give you high energy boosts when you need it the most, while ensuring to avoid the jitters after too much caffeine consumption. Head on over to shockedenergy.com and use the promo code CGSN today. For 10% off your order, check out their green apple flavor as well as their watermelon flavor. Maddie, I always forget. Are you a green apple guy or a watermelon guy?
Watermelon.
Good, good, good man. Oh, and don't worry. They ship worldwide. Powder, give me a random country.
Madagascar.
Maddie, give me a random country in the world.
England.
Whether you're in Madagascar, England, or you're in Timbuktu or Tibet or wherever you are listening to this podcast, you can get Shocked Energy's world. As well, worldwide. That's right. Worldwide. Get your Shocked Energy today and let us help you gain your focus and energy back. CGSN at checkout, all capitalized. 10% off your order, shockedenergy.com. So not a deep list of topics tonight. I'd say there are 2 main topics, and then we might throw a 3rd one in there for the people. We don't know. We're just trying to get through the week. It's midweek. It's Wednesday. It's 8:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're just trying to get through it. So, Maddie, you're the guest. We have Red Sox to talk about who have finished their first 2 series of the season, and we have the Celtics playoffs coming up. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, naturally, it's the beginning of the episode, so let's talk about the beginning of the Red Sox season.
Okay, fair enough. Voice crack, we love that too. So, 6 games into the MLB season. I was saying on my end, I voice cracked.
I know, I heard it. I heard it.
Very badly. 6 games in, the Boston Red Sox are currently sitting at 3-3 after losing 2 out of 3 in their season opening series against the New York Yankees in the Bronx, and then winning 2 out of 3 in Detroit against the, I'm going to call them the revamped Detroit Tigers, because they made some moves that actually will have them be respectable in the AL Central this year, I think. So let's go back and let's kind of review the games. First game of the season. Yep. Red Sox lose in extra innings. I think it was a 6-5 game.
Mm-hmm.
And they had so many chances to win on opening day. It was absolutely ridiculous. It was just flat out ridiculous. Next day, Yankees outplay them. Giancarlo Stanton, 2-run home run in the 6th, dooms them. 4-2 loss. Season's at 0-2. Sunday night baseball, you come in, you get a win. Bobby Dalbec actually did something positive. I was shocked. I was happy. Red Sox end up winning the game 4-3. Travel to Detroit, take on the Tigers. First game, bats are dead. JD Martinez, solo home run. That was the only offense they could muster up. They lose 3-1 to drop to 1-3 on the season. Bounce back with a 5-3 victory in the middle game of the series. Just a nice come from behind victory. And then as we're recording today, on Wednesday, April 13th, Red Sox take 2 out of 3 against Detroit by winning 9-7. The bats came alive. It was scary. Red Sox were up 9-2 in that game. They almost blew it. Like really, really badly. Like really badly. But they end up getting the win. 6 road games, 3-3. You have the Minnesota Twins coming in on Friday afternoon for a 4 game series over Patriots Day weekend. So let's start with this. Coming into the first Fenway series of the season, you're 3-3. What is one thing that pleasantly surprised you about this team? Could be a player, could be just an overall area of baseball. And what's one thing that is a little bit of concern? Because we're not going to worry yet. It's only 6 games into the season. But what's one thing that you definitely have to keep your eye on going forward? I'm going to start with Powder. And then I want to hear Mr. Burnett. And then I'll round this up. Go ahead, Powder.
I haven't had a ton of time to watch the Red Sox yet, but looking at their stats, just seeing, obviously, the key players, looking at OBP and OPS, just seeing their key, Devers, Martinez, Verdugo, even Dalbec with a 739 early in the season. Just hopefully him getting hot. Obviously, you have a first baseman in waiting and Tristan Cassis, if he can have a good start to the season, but Dalbec, hopefully he can get hot, but seeing Devers and Martinez starting off the season hot is what you want to see.
Yeah, definitely a couple middle of the order guys that you want to see get going. How about one thing to be concerned about?
Definitely, I'd say the pitching from everything. Like Eovaldi he's pitched decent, but not great. And your pitching's obviously going to be your weakness going forward. And if Eovaldi can't keep his, like, stay long in games, the bullpen will wear throughout the season.
Okay. I think that's a very valid concern. How about you, Maddie?
Something I've liked so far, again, in the limited Red Sox teams I've been able to watch, because they all happen while I'm at work, is I like what I'm seeing from Devers. He's kind of a hot topic right now because, you know, Red Sox are trying to resign him and might get the Mookie treatment where, you know, he see you later, or he might stay for a long time. Obviously, we're all Red Sox fans. We'd like the option of him staying for a long time. And I can't believe I'm about to say this 6 games in, but the MVP of the Red Sox season so far is probably Rafael Devers. He's been great at the plate, batting .346, I believe. He has like 6 or 7 RBIs already this year. He's kind of the offense right now for the most part for the Red Sox. As for concerning things, couple minor things. I don't know why Ryan Brazier is still employed by the Red Sox, first of all. second of all, let's see. I agree. I'm going to say the bullpen is a huge issue. But as Red Sox fans, we should expect that at this point. It's been like that for a few years where our bullpen's iffy. Hopefully they can somewhat figure it out, hopefully soon, because you got the Twins coming in this weekend. As much as I hate Carlos Correa, he is Carlos Correa. He is a good player. He's gonna have fun with a bad bullpen, just like how Giancarlo Stanton had fun playing at a Little League field with our bad bullpen. So, I mean, that's really my main concern through the first two series is the bullpen, and Ryan Brazier still having a job.
Okay. So I'm going to have to be the, how do I put this nicely? The Jared Carrabas of this podcast, or the Tyler Milliken of this podcast. Let's put it that way. The Tyler Milliken that's been watching and following along and everything else. Cause I have been able to watch a lot of the games so far. I think I might've missed one game cause I was at work, but anyways, one player that's really stuck out to me, that's not a Bogarts or a Devers or anything, is Alex Verdugo on both sides of the baseball, because Alex Verdugo, he's had really good swings, a really good approach so far early on in the season, defensively in the outfield, saving runs, making great plays, helping his pitchers out. So Verdugo is a guy, and don't forget, a lot of people put a lot of pressure on Alex Verdugo because he was the centerpiece of that Mookie Betts trade. Mm-hmm. So you put that kind of pressure on him. He loves it. And he even said, I'm not Mookie Betts. I'm my own player. I'm Alex Verdugo. And he's proven it. He's proven that he can be a reliable left-handed bat in the lineup and a reliable outfielder. I'm good with that. I'm going to go the opposite of Maddie as far as my concern. I'm concerned about the starting rotation because Nathan Eovaldi, yeah, he went five innings today against the Tigers. He gave up two runs. That's great, but he has to be the bona fide ace of this staff. Nick Pivetta had an okay start against the Yankees. Nothing great, but he's got to keep the ball in the ballpark. And then you have Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck's my biggest worry, because he's a guy that is known for two things. One, wildly inaccurate at times, has trouble locating sometimes in his starts, and he can't get through a lineup the third time. So if the best he can do is if he shuts everybody down is 5 to 6 innings. The worst he's going to do, maybe 2 or 3 innings, and then you have an extended bullpen that particular day. You can't have that with this bullpen. Now, this bullpen, I think, is better than a lot of people are giving credit to. Jake Diekman's come in. He's gotten you out of a couple jams. Garrett Whitlock, which, by the way, we'll talk about that. I just remembered that. So we're going to talk about Garrett Whitlock in a second. But Garrett Whitlock's a guy that you can utilize him as a multi-inning reliever and closer. And he proved that in the second Detroit game when you won 5-3 in the second game of that series. So overall, I mean, you take a look at the starting rotation. After that, you got Tanner Houck in the 3 spot. Michael Wacha and Rich Hill, I mean, come on. I mean, Wacha looked okay against Detroit. Hill looked okay. But these are guys that I don't know if you can depend on for the long term of a season. And that's why I'm concerned about this starting rotation. So we'll see. It's 6 games in. I would have said the bats if they didn't explode for 9 runs today, because, guys, the bats were horrible. Horrible. But that's kind of their MO, isn't it?
They were pretty bad until today.
They were very bad. Very, very bad. I mean, it was kind of disgusting. I'm not going to lie to you. But anyways, we're past that. They're at a much better position now than they were last year. I know everyone's like, oh, they were 3-3 last year. Yeah, but they didn't get swept by the Yankees to open up the season. And they actually were in the games against the Yankees. Unlike the Orioles, where the Orioles just beat their brains in. Mm-hmm. So is there any other thoughts that you guys want to talk about from the first two series before we talk about Garrett Whitlock really quick?
It's just nice to have baseball back after the horrible offseason that we all just went through.
It is nice. And especially after the ALCS appearance that you made last year, it's nice to see the Red Sox are actually looking to get back there and prove a lot of people wrong again. Yeah. Because if you take a look at the DraftKings line that they had for the Red Sox, it was at like 85.5 or 86.5 wins. That's a slap in the face to this team that, yeah, you lost a couple pieces. You lost Hunter Renfroe. You lost Kyle Schwarber. But you added Trevor Story. You know, and I know their rotation right now is in bits and pieces, but they can maybe figure that out. So it's really, really funny that people keep doubting this Red Sox team because they're good with a good manager. And you can't really say otherwise. What else can you say?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to switch gears real quick to Garrett Whitlock. So the Red Sox have locked in Garrett Whitlock to a four-year extension that spans the 2023 to 2026 seasons with club options for 2027 and 2028. So I'll say this really quick, and then I want to hear your guys' kind of thoughts. Garrett Whitlock's a guy that you stole him from the Yankees in the Rule 5 draft. You took him away. You pants the Yankees and said, look at it now, because he's shutting you down. And now you get him on a relatively friendly team contract. I mean, Chaim Bloom did great work with that contract. I think he's earning $1 million or something this year, or like a couple million, and then they're going to backload the contract. But I'm excited to see Garrett Whitlock as a key piece of this bullpen for a long time. Maybe he'll even become a starter in a couple of years. And it's nice to see that Chaim's actually willing to pony up the dough for important pieces. Now, hopefully he'll do the same thing with Devers and Bogarts. But that's another story for another day. Maddie, your quick thoughts, or take as long as you want, obviously, on Garrett Whitlock signing the extension with the Red Sox.
I like it. Obviously, like I just said, you know, pitching in general has been an issue this year for the Sox throughout the six games. The only shining moment, the really only shining night right now for the Red Sox pitchers is Whitlock. I almost just said Garrett Richards. My God, no. And
yeah, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that, but God, anyways, continue. Yeah,
that almost just slipped. But I think he could be a long-term closer for us. And he's someone where I would feel comfortable if the Red Sox had him do a two-inning save. He could do it. He's that talented, and I agree with him. A highway robbery from the Yankees, getting Whitlock from New York. Absolute highway robbery. I love it. This kid's an electric factory for the Red Sox. He's kind of going to be the energizer bunny that they're going to need, especially in some of the close games this year, especially in probably the next 45 extra inning games that they're going to have with the Yankees too, because God forbid if the Red Sox and Yankees ever play a 9-inning game. I like Whitlock, and he has a bright future with the Sox.
Love that. Now, Powder.
Yeah, I have to agree with Matt. He said he's definitely been, and like you said, Al, definitely way over that. Like, he's played way over his value. Like, how the Red Sox got him, he's been unbelievable. He's been the most consistent closer, I would say, of the last 2 years. He's a really strong pitcher, and get him on cheap deal where each year it seems, besides what was it that I saw, 1 year that's 2020 is $10.5 million. That's the only year that's a little bit for a club option. Everything else is pretty cheap for what you get from him. So if he can keep playing the way he is, I think that contract's going to look amazing in 5 years.
It can look amazing in 5 years, or it could be a really big dud, because who knows what's going to happen with his health. That's the big thing that's going to drive me insane, is if they sign him to this deal and then he just gets hurt, almost like Chris Sale. Honestly, like, it could end up being like a Chris Sale type of deal. And I hate to say that because I love Chris Sale, but you know, you don't want damaged goods on this ball club. There's too much money at stake. There's too much investment at stake. There's too much at stake for the players. They want to win another ring. They want to prove that 18 wasn't just a fluke. They can get another one, then that'll be pretty, pretty, pretty good to win two in 5 years.
You guys want a quick laugh really quick? It's baseball related, not the Red Sox, though, but we can laugh at this.
Does it have to do with a certain Muppet character?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Go ahead. Garrett Cole has given up 2 home runs to Vladdy tonight.
Oh, for Pete's sake. For Pete's sake. And by the way,
there goes my first fantasy week. Garrett Cole's on my team.
I'm sorry, Powder. Garrett Cole.
That's a mistake.
Really quick, just really, really fast. On opening day, when Garrett Richards was complaining by 4 minutes about his whole routine being thrown off,
Did you just say Garrett Richards?
I think I said no. I said Garrett Cole.
You said Garrett Cole and then Garrett Richards.
Oh, did I? Okay. So Garrett Cole. See, you brought bad vibes by saying.
Sorry, I'm sorry. He was on my mind for like half a second. I couldn't get it out.
Garrett Cole, aka Kermit the Frog, literally complained because of 4 minutes, because the game started at 1:12 as opposed to 1:08 when it was supposed to be the original first pitch time. Like, dude, shut up. Stop trying to find excuses. What's your excuse tonight? You were on time and you're giving up bombs to Vladdy Jr.
They could have been 15 seconds late, Al.
Oh, God forbid. God forbid.
Listen, for someone who's on the Yankees, he definitely has a Met-like energy to him.
He just drives me nuts. He just drives me nuts. I mean, thank you for the wild card game, Garrett Cole. We're always going to be appreciative of that. And the 2018 ALCS game, too. We'll be forever endowed. Thank you.
He chokes when he's needed the most.
Yep. Red Sox have his number, especially Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts. But anyways, we're going to preview the Twin series really quick. But before we do, just want to give a quick shout out to Exogun. 10% off at exogun.com with the code CGS10 for your massage therapy guns. Whether you need it at home, whether you need it podcasting, whether you need it at work, you can use it and get a massage without having to leave your house. CGS10, exogun.com. Use the code 10% off your massage therapy guns today. All right. Before we switch completely into another sport, let's preview the Twin series. So the Red Sox are playing a 4-game series against the Minnesota Twins at home. And here are the pitching matchups as follows. The Friday 2:10 game is going to feature Joe Ryan for the Twins and Nick Pivetta for the Red Sox. Joe Ryan 0-1 with a 4.50 ERA. Nick Pivetta 0-1 with a 6.35 ERA. The Saturday 4:10 game, which I will be in attendance for. Sonny Gray on the mound, 0-0 record, 3.86 ERA against Tanner Houck, 0-0 with an 8.10 ERA. The Sunday afternoon game, the 1:35 game, Bailey Ober, 1-0 with a 7.2 ERA, will face Michael Wacha, 0-0 with a 2.08 ERA. And then finally, in the Monday morning Patriots Day, 11 a.m. finale, which I'll never understand playing at 11 a.m. I do understand it, but it's just I don't like it.
No one's going to be able to watch the game except for, like, who's there.
Exactly. Dylan Bundy, 1-0 with a 0 ERA, is taking on Rich Hill, 0-0 with a 6.23 ERA. So
that's disgusting.
It was only one start.
That's still disgusting.
So regardless, here's kind of my thoughts on it. Like Maddie alluded to earlier in the episode, you have Carlos Correa. That was their big free agent signing. Mm-hmm. Came out of nowhere, really, right? I mean, nobody really expected the Twins to come out of nowhere and sign Correa to this 3-year deal for big money.
They weren't on his radar at all, like, or anyone's radar to sign him. It was kind of just like, going to the Twins. See y'all in 3 years. We'll see.
And he signed it, right. And he signed it like 2 a.m. On the day he signed.
Well, he has an opt out after each year. It's basically a three-time one-year deal. If he goes out, balls out this year, and he can test the free agent market again.
Right. And then he has the security that if he doesn't ball out and he has a bad year, then obviously he can just take the money with the Twins. So it makes sense. Yeah. So he's with the Twins at least for 2022. We know that.
Yeah.
The Twins have also made some other low-key decent moves. Like, they got rid of Josh Donaldson. They brought in Gary Sanchez, which we know Gary Sanchez defensively is a mediocre to below average catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought in Gio Urshela. That's another bat. And they have some good pieces. Byron Buxton's a nice piece. They had Miguel Sano, who used to be an okay piece. There's some pieces there in Minnesota. But I still think that overall, I'd rather have the Red Sox lineup. I don't buy the Twins pitching. And I'm going to tell you right now, because we're going to do series predictions. After this series, the Red Sox are going to win 3 out of 4 games in this series. They're going to go 3-1. And they are going to be 6-4 after this 4-game series with the Twins. Because guess what? The Blue Jays and Rays are coming to town, and you need to have some momentum going into those series. Big time. floor is open to whoever wants to make their prediction next.
I'll take the good old college try at this. I do agree they're going to win 3 out of 4. They're going to win on when's opening day? Friday?
Friday. Yeah.
They'll win Friday. They'll lose Saturday, and then they'll win Sunday, Monday. What's going to happen.
Hate you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Do you think that too?
No, that's Saturday's the game I'm going to.
Okay, so that confirms it then. They're going to lose Saturday, and then they'll win.
I hate you so much.
They're probably going to lose to the game I might be going to next week, so it's okay.
Yeah, but that's a different opponent and a better opponent, so I would expect them to be able to lose.
True.
But anyways, all right, so Maddie, you got 3 out of 4 as well. Powder?
I'm going to just round it out 3 out of 4. I think they'll win Friday, Saturday, lose Sunday, and then I think they're just always pretty good on Patriots Day, and I think they'll win that game and take 3 out of 4.
Okay. So 3 out of 4 against the Minnesota Twins. Last Red Sox question, then we'll move into the Celtics. You guys concerned at all about Trevor Story missing 3 straight games because of food poisoning?
No. It's the beginning of the season.
Cool. Okay. All right. Perfect.
Before we get into something else, speaking of the Twins, did you see any news from their game today?
No.
All right. So Clayton Kershaw pitched for the Dodgers today.
Innings,
80 pitches, perfect game, not one runner. Dave Roberts takes him out. Thoughts? I want to talk about this. I just remembered it.
Did you see what Kershaw said about it?
I didn't see that.
What he said?
He said he agreed with Roberts' decision because he was tired. Because he said he hadn't picked up a ball like during the lockout or really that much during the lockout. Not a lot of spring training, so he was fine with it.
Yeah.
I get the logic.
So now that I know that, I'm going to change from what I thought earlier when I saw this. Now it's like, if Kershaw is cool with it, then like that's fine. But like if this, let's say it was like a completely normal offseason, spring training was normal length and all that, and Dave Roberts still did that, I would be like, bro, are you kidding me?
I see both sides. Like obviously you want to keep him healthy for the long term, but also I think it was Jeff Passan's tweet. There's been over 220,000 games in Major League Baseball history and only 23 perfect games. Like, that's a one thing Kershaw does not have on his mantle. He actually should. If anybody remembers, his no-hitter. It was a no-hitter because Hanley Ramirez threw a ball away in, I think, the 7th inning. And that's the only base runner of that whole game. So he should have a perfect game, but he doesn't. He has a no-hitter. But I get it. You don't want Kershaw hurting for the whole season, and then Roberts would feel it. Like, he would feel that the whole year. Like, I left him in way too long.
I agree with it. It's like, I agree with you. Like, I see both sides of it, the health side, but at the same time, like what Passan said, over 220,000 games been played, only 23 were perfect. Why not try to get 24, especially on like your first start of the season too?
Yeah.
Like, go for it. And it's like, it's not like the second he gives up a hit, like, oh, may give up a hit. Let's let you finish it. Second he gives up a hit, a walk, anything like that, pull him. That's when you pull him.
Yep.
Even if it was a no hitter, still pull him. Try to go for the combined no hitter at that point.
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw is gonna have not a bounce back season, but I think he's gonna have a fine season for the Dodgers. They're thinking of the long haul, not the short haul. So I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, they got to compete in the National League, where you know you got the Braves,
yep,
Brewers,
yep.
Dare I say, if they can stay healthy this year, the Mets.
Yep.
Dare if I say they stay healthy, the Padres.
Yeah, them too.
The offense Giants. Carries the Phillies.
There's a lot of good teams in the National League.
Yeah.
A lot of balanced teams. But anyways, we've talked a lot about baseball. We're going to move into a little bit of basketball. So the NBA playoffs are here. The play-in tournaments are happening. And the Boston Celtics are the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. So before we get into their actual matchup, I want to ask you guys, are you happy with the fact that the Celtics got the 2 seed? Simple question.
I mean, this relates back to our conversation we had like last week or whatever. Like, It's just tough because it feels like no matter who the Celtics were going to play in this situation, it wasn't going to be an easy series. Would it have been nice if, like, Cleveland, like, actually could have, like, pulled it off last night? Yeah, but I feel confident in the Celtics team. I do.
Okay.
So I'm cool with it. So, yeah.
You're cool. Okay. Powder?
Yeah, I agree with Maddie. I think, like, obviously – we talked about before, he kind of wanted either Chicago or Toronto, so he wanted maybe a little bit lower of a seed so he could face them in the first round. But it kind of shows, like, it kind of is probably for the Celtics players more of a pride thing, because we talked about it, I don't know how many episodes in a row, they were at one point below 500 and they became the hottest team in the whole NBA. And like, to me, as a player, I don't care who I'm playing in the playoffs. If we were out of the playoffs and now we're the two seed, like, it shows that you can really play. And I think it's going to be a tough matchup. I think the Celtics are where they want to be.
The Celtics were 23-24 at one point. This was after the Knicks game where RJ Barrett banked a three at the buzzer to beat them.
Yeah.
Since then, their record was 28-7.
Went on a tear.
They won 80% of their games the rest of the year. And I did the math the other day because I was bored and I just was looking at their schedule. Yeah. They went on a 9-game win streak, a 5-game win streak, and a 6-game win streak. All in that span of 28-7.
Yeah, they went on an absolute tear.
They did. And like, go ahead, Matty.
I was just gonna say quickly that every year, there's always that one team, like, once the actual physical calendar year turns from, like, 2021 to 2022, there's always one team that just absolutely goes off. And this year, it just happened to be the Celtics.
Right. The Jazz did it a couple years ago.
Yeah. They got all the way to the one seed in the West, I think, that year.
I think so, too. So, so the Celtics are going to open up the NBA playoffs, the Eastern Conference quarterfinals against the Brooklyn Nets. And I have to be that guy. I'm going to sound like 98.5 here. I'm sorry. I really am. But this is not the matchup I wanted. I think this is not a good matchup for the Celtics for a few reasons. I know they had the number one defense in the NBA. But on the other side, you have a team that was number one in the NBA in isolation basketball. And who do they have on their team? They happen to have the best player in the world in Kevin Durant. I can honestly say that he is right there with Giannis, 1 and 2. Kevin Durant's right there. And by the way, I know how much we hate him, but Kyrie Irving is a top point guard in the NBA. He is. In the play-in game, the first half, he was 9 for 9 from the field. He finished the game 12 of 15 shooting from the field. So you have two guys there that can beat you every night. I know you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but they still scare me. Maddie, you wanted to bring up a point.
That's all they have, the Nets. That's really all they have. I know you and I were talking last night, but then I took a look into their roster today since I had, like, multiple hours of free time while my car was being looked at in the shop and I had nothing better to do with my life. Kyrie went 9 for 9 last night. That's great. Good for him. Yeah, Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. Good for him. Outside of this team, I mean, outside of those two, sure, Claxton's okay, Drummond's okay. Bruce Brown's already creating a locker room material for the Celtics. If he goes cold in this series, look out. Defensively, the Celtics are better. They are way better than this team.
Yes.
Kyrie's great. Durant's great. They can't beat this team by themselves. They're going to need help from the supporting cast that they have. And if the Celtics can shut them down, Celtics can win this in six. I'm not going to say that's my official prediction or anything, but defensively, this is a great matchup. This is outside of Durant and Irving. Great. This is a great matchup. Would it have been easier if it was Darius Garland in Cleveland? Absolutely.
It also would have been easier if it was DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine in Chicago, who was the team that I wanted them to play in the first round in the first place. Chicago over Brooklyn?
I mean, yeah, but, you know, playoff DeRozan, do we really need to remember, like, no, he wasn't on the Raptors team that won at all, but look at what he did in the with the Raptors when they did go to the playoffs while he was on that team. Mm-hmm. He did some damage. He can do some damage.
I know, but I'd still rather take my chances against the DeRozan-Levine duo as opposed to the Durant-Irving duo. That's my thing. Now, I will say this. Maddie makes a lot of great points. Celtics have a great defense. Their offense is in the top 5 to 7 in the NBA in just total efficiency. And there's a key to this matchup that nobody's talking about. The Nets were 25th in the NBA in transition defense. So if the Celtics can get out to running and they can get out in transition against this team, they will get a lot of easy, easy baskets. Easy. And I'll tell you what. I know I just spun a negative twist on this, but I'm going to come back to the positive route. The Celtics role players, 10 times better than Cleveland's role players, 10 times better than Brooklyn's role players. You take a look outside of the top two in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You have Al Horford that's had a resurgence since he came back to Boston. Robert Williams before he got hurt. You have Daniel Tice that's giving you valuable minutes. Marcus Smart's running the show. Off the bench, Derek White's been a great addition. Peyton Pritchard's finally getting his minutes. Grant Williams has taken a big step up in year three. So there are a lot of good pieces in place right now for this Celtics team. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you guys a very simple question. What is your series prediction for the 2-seed Celtics against the 7-seed Nets? And before you make it, keep in mind this. DraftKings put out the series prediction before. They had the Nets favored in this series.
Well, duh, they're going to have the Nets favored. Everyone has the Nets favored, all because of those two guys.
Yep. Right. And the Celtics were a slight underdog. I think they were like plus 115 or something like that. They were a slight underdog in this series coming in. So it's very simple. What is your series prediction?
Celtics in 7.
Okay. Powder?
Just to change up a little, I have Celtics in 6. I just think they're going to want revenge from last year when Brooklyn embarrassed them, besides what Tatum scored 50 or something one game to win it for the Celtics. But I think the Celtics want this, and I think they're going to find a way to win it in 6.
I got the Celtics in 7. I do. Put it out into the Twitter universe. And full disclosure, Maddie Burnett and I had a text conversation about this. And as soon as we found out it was Brooklyn, we went right into negative mode. Both of us did.
No, we did. We 100% did.
Yep, we did. But now that we like calmed down, we drank our water, we ate our food. Now we're thinking clearly. If Marcus Smart can put the clamps down on Kyrie Irving, and you combine, you know, Jalen, Jason, and Horford on Kevin Durant, like Maddie said, who's going to beat you on that team? Claxton, Andre Drummond, Seth Curry.
Cleveland almost beat Brooklyn last night.
And Cleveland.
Gave up a game at one point.
I know, and this is after the Nets scored 40 points in the first quarter. So this is where I'm like, okay. And by the way, too, if you take a look at the scheduling of the series, I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you see on Twitter their actual playoff schedule?
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
So they're playing – so they're opening up on Easter Sunday. Then they're playing Wednesday. Then after that, they're playing Friday, Sunday – Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, I'm pretty sure. And guess what? Game 5, that'll be 4 weeks since Robert Williams had his meniscus tear surgery, which means he might be ready for the end of the first round of the playoffs. If you get Robert Williams in the middle, forget it. Brooklyn doesn't have a chance. If Robert Williams comes back and he's can give you some minutes. So I'll just kind of end the Celtics segment by kind of saying this. The Celtics, if they are for real, and I'm hoping they're for real and they prove me wrong here. If they are for real, take care of business against Brooklyn, Maybe you make it a quick series to give Robert Williams a little bit more time to be ready for the second round and be ready probably for Milwaukee, unless Chicago surprises a lot of people, which I don't think they're going to do. I think Milwaukee's going to win in five. I think the Celtics are going to win in six or seven. We're going to have Celtics Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And believe it or not, I'm going to give a bold take here. I think the Raptors are going to upset the 76ers in the first round, and they're going to end up playing the Heat in the other semifinal matchup. I do.
I like that, Al. I like that. I think whoever ends up getting the eight seed is going to give Miami a little bit of trouble, I think, though. If it is Atlanta, which I think it might be.
It could be. They could give him some trouble because Atlanta, they move the ball around a lot. Trae Young is an absolute stud. And they have some shooters too. Gallinari, Bogdanovich, Kevin Herter. They have some.
It's 100% going to be Atlanta.
Probably. But we'll see.
It's 100% going to be Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Is Atlanta killing Charlotte?
It's 79-63 in the third, but like.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it's too bad, but like. Anytime that Charlotte scores, Atlanta's just responding right back. So
No, that makes sense. So we're going to keep you updated on the Celtics playoffs as it goes along. By the time our next episode comes out, they'll have played at least game one, maybe game two, depending on when we record next week. If we record next week, we'll see. I'm going to be on vacation next week, so we'll see if we'll actually record.
Ooh.
So. But anyways, any final Celtics takes before we kind of wrap everything up?
No, sir.
Go C's. You suck, Kyrie Irving. I hate you. I wish that you would slightly bruise your knee so that way you can be out for a couple games.
Oh, wishing injury on somebody.
I really hope that you slip on a banana peel. And then you just fall on your butt, and then you have a bruised butt, and then you have to sit up, if you can sit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he'd be sitting that much if he has a bruised butt.
He could very well have a bruised butt.
My hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already uptight enough anyway, so he really needs to be more uptight.
And guess what? We're not going to feed you A and B kitchen and bar food.
No.
Because you don't deserve it, Kyrie Irving. You loser. You jerk. But Powder, will you tell us about A&B Kitchen and Bar while you're at it?
Yeah, I'll do real quick. Just shout out to A&B Kitchen and Bar located in Boston. Hey, if you're going to one of the Celtics playoff games at home, or even while they're on the road, you want to go right near the Garden to get the atmosphere. They're right across the street from the TD Garden. They have great views of the Zakim Bridge. They are elevated take on traditional New England pub menu with freshly made in-house dishes. Like chicken pot pie, meatloaf. They have local area breweries like Gentile Brewery, Lord Hobo, Notch. And they have heaters, so it's starting to get nice out. They have spectacular views. Like I said, if you want to go there while the Celtics are playing or even right before, get a quick bite and a nice drink before you head into the game. They have a spectacular view of the Garden, so you can get that atmosphere but not be in the Garden. But they also have 9 70-inch TVs, so like I said, you're there during the game, there's not a bad seat in the house. Check out A&B Kitchen and Bar located in Boston, Massachusetts on Causeway Street.
Shout out to A&B Kitchen and Bar for everyone that wants to be a part of something great in Boston, unlike Kyrie Irving. And by the way, Kyrie Irving, we didn't forget about when you stepped on Lucky's face and smeared your foot in it.
Oh, my God, Al.
We don't forget. But on a real note for a second, Kyrie Irving is going to get the biggest boos I've ever heard probably in the Garden on Sunday.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
For all the times he's ditched and all the times that he couldn't play and all this other stuff in the playoffs.
He's played in the Garden since then, obviously. Well, like this is probably
But in this type of setting with a lot on the line now.
Mm-hmm. And a much better team compared to last year.
Oh, yeah. And this is the one thing, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. This is the one thing that I hate that Nets fans are bringing up, and I'm seeing it on Twitter. It's like, oh, look at what happened last year. Last year, you want to know what the starting lineup was last year?
Oh, can I guess it? Can I please guess it?
You both, if you want, can guess. Go ahead.
Let's see. Brown was out because he had that injury last
Correct. Year. Brown didn't play in the playoffs. That's one difference right there. But anyways, continue.
We had, obviously, Tatum.
Yep.
God. Was Kemba playing?
Nope.
No. So, Marcus Smart was right?
It was Smart. Yep. Smart was the Pritchard? Starting point guard.
Pritchard?
Nope.
Williams?
Robert Williams was, I think, out too. He might have, yeah, I think he was coming off the bench.
I'm trying to think of who was on this team last year.
Here, I'll give you two pieces. Romeo Langford.
I was about to say Romeo. Damn it.
Romeo. Evan Fournier was in there.
Oh, God.
And I think who was the other center last year? I forget who the other center was last year, but regardless, their lineup was garbage last year. And last year, the Nets had James Harden still on the team.
Was it Tristan Thompson?
It was. Yep, that's who it was. It was Tristan Thompson. So, I mean, Marcus Smart, same. Romeo Langford, upgrade this year. Jason Tatum, same. Evan Fournier, upgrade this year with Horford. And then Tristan Thompson, bleh. Upgrade in Tice or Williams.
Okay, I'm looking at this team that they had last year, too.
Celtics or Nets?
God, I forgot we had Luke Kornet on there.
Well, Luke Kornet's on the team this year, too. He's not.
I know, but like, we actually like played him. That's the thing.
Yeah, he was playing decent minutes. Last year's team was a joke. But we digress. Celtics are in the playoffs. Red Sox getting their season going. Hopefully, we'll be turning a corner soon. We will get into Bruins. I know we haven't talked Bruins in a while, and we keep saying every week we'll bring on Bruins, but we'll probably bring on some Bruins people to talk as the playoffs get closer because the Bruins are fighting for a playoff spot right now. Patriots draft is going to be in 2 weeks.
Next week, well, definitely, right?
Well, next week is going to be – will be if we record. So like I said, I'm going to be on vacation. So if we record next week, it will be all draft stuff. If not, the week of the draft, it's going to be basically an all Patriots draft show.
Also, the draft is not next week. So I just looked.
I was going to say, I think it's on the 28th and 29th.
It's the 28th.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll see what the Patriots do at 21 and we'll see what the Bruins do for the playoffs. But any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap up for the week?
No.
Good.
All right, as always, rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and all the usual places where you can get your podcasts at. Again, couchguysports.com for all your blog needs, all of your podcast needs. We have a ton of podcasts in the network. Go check them out. Twitch channel, YouTube channel. Make sure, again, to check out our sponsors at Shocked Energy, A&B Kitchen and Bar, and Exogun. And if nothing else for this week, that is Maddie Burnett. That is Tom Podcademus. I'm your host, Alan Hegian. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to episode 168. And we'll see you next week for episode 169.
Yes, sir.